Goedemorgen. Ik heb goed nieuws voor de kijkers van de Overpower vanmorgen. Want aan het einde van deze uitzending in de Christelijke Cathedral is er een toespraak van Nick Vukovic, de jonge man zonder armen en benen die zo fantastisch kan vertellen. En dit keer is het thema Leven uit Genade. Een prachtig thema. En natuurlijk veel muziek in de Christelijke Cathedral van onder andere het koor. En er is een Amerikaans jongenskoor dat een aantal liederen ten gehore brengt. Geïnterviewd wordt Richard Stern. Hij was president-commissaris van een onderneming in luxe artikelen. Wereldwijd was dat. En is nu verantwoordelijk voor World Vision, de grootste christelijke hulporganisatie ter wereld. En hij vertelt erover met bewogenheid en compassie. Bij Overpower Nederland, Lies en Pieter Akahari. Misschien wel de trouwste kijkers van Hour of Power, maar dan zegt u misschien, nou dat ben ik ook, dus ik ben daar een beetje voorzichtig mee. In ieder geval kijken ze elke zondagmorgen al 12,5 jaar lang, bijna 12,5 jaar, want we gaan ons jubileum tegemoet. En Pieter heeft net een ernstige situatie in zijn leven meegemaakt en daarover vertellen ze en wat Hour of Power betekent en hun geloof natuurlijk. Kortom, een boeiende uitzending van Hour of Power. Van harte welkom.
Join us today for the best hour on television. The Hour of Power from the Crystal Cathedral. Welcome to the House of Believers. This is the place we come to share our faith, thank God for our faith, or pick it up if we need it picked up. So welcome to the Believer's Hour. This is the day that God has made for you and for me. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Turn around, shake hands with somebody close to you, and give them the blessing. God loves you. And so do I. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for all of these voices, all of these persons, all of these collection of minds and memories and moods that are in this room today. And there is a mixture here that is strong and positive and sweet and beautiful and loving and kind and encouraging. It is your presence, Jesus, living through us. And so this becomes the place of God this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated and hear the scripture which comes to us this morning from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5. Jesus spoke these words nearly 2,000 years ago. Unbelievably powerful today. No psychologist, no psychiatrist, No doctrine in counseling has ever written words that are more significant, insightful, and honest than these. Here, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be treated mercifully. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before all that they may see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. These are the words of Jesus.
Thank you, Don New, and thank you, Cathedral Choir. He was a very successful corporate chief. He was chairman of the board. One of the companies, if I can mention it, is Lennox. He was a very strong churchman, Christian. When he got a call out of the blue to come into Christian work, and he wasn't ready for it at all, and it was to become the chairman of the board of World Vision. And I'm an early fan of World Vision. It was founded by Bob Pearson. When I was starting this church, Bob Pearson was starting to look for people that were hurting, and that would be his focus. Fabulous ministry. When Richard finally surrendered his huge income from the corporate world down to a very small salary, and he's been there since. The first year he was with them, World Vision had donations of about $358 million a year, and after the first year, it reached $1 billion. Annually.
But come on up here.
Wow. Tell us your story. It was a real God calling.
Well, first of all, I've got to correct one fact. I'm not that good, Dr. Schuller. We didn't go from 300 million to 1 billion in 1 year. It took a few years to do that.
Well, but, I'll give you a few years.
Give me a few years, but God was gracious. But my story is a story of God working in the life of one man. And as you said, I was a corporate CEO. I was living the American dream. And for a kid that grew up poor, I grew up in a broken family with an alcoholic father and parents that never went to high school. And through God's grace, I was able to attend two Ivy League colleges and begin climbing the corporate ladder. To the point where I became CEO of Lennox China and Crystal. The ladies here know Lennox. Thank you for your support. And there I was in 1998, master of all I surveyed, sitting in my big corporate office, really grateful to God for what he had done in my life, and the phone rang. And on the other end of that phone was an executive recruiter. And he said, Rich, World Vision is looking for a new president. And we were donors to World Vision, my wife and I. And I said, well, that's a great organization. I said, how can I help you? And he described the job and asked if I knew anybody that would fit that description. And I said, gee, that's a tough one, because you're looking for someone that's part CEO, part Mother Teresa, and part Indiana Jones. And I said, I don't know anybody like that. And then he, at the end of the call, he said, well, what about you? Would you be willing to consider this job? And my first reaction was, you've got to be crazy. I'm selling luxury goods to the wealthy. What do I know about the poorest of the poor? But we also know the Lord has a sense of humor about who he calls into different jobs. And as you said on that phone call, I kept trying to say no. I wasn't interested. I wasn't qualified. And he finally asked me that question, are you willing to be open to God's will for your life?
Great.
That's a tough question.
It is.
And ultimately, with some great reluctance and kicking and screaming, I was not a great, courageous Christian leader, but I ultimately said, I can only obey Christ. And if I talk the talk, and I had talked the talk all my life, this was an opportunity to walk the walk.
What was the greatest challenge you faced?
Well, World Vision is a great organization. We are a Christian humanitarian organization. We operate in 100 countries. With some 40,000 staff now, it's the largest humanitarian organization in the world, and it's Christian, it's dedicated to Christ. We do emergency relief, we respond to hurricanes and earthquakes and tsunamis and war and refugee situations, but we also work in communities over the long term, caring for the poorest of the poor, trying to help lift communities out of poverty in the name of Christ. And it's a phenomenal ministry. We have an opportunity to demonstrate the gospel, not just talk about the gospel, but demonstrate it through our love and our concern for the people we serve. So it was a great ministry to join, and it's just a privilege to serve in the name of the Lord in the work that we do around the world. Well, I've had the privilege of seeing the hungry fed and the lame walk. I've seen wells drilled and cisterns built. I've seen girls freed from sexual slavery. I've seen brothels shut down. I've seen amazing miracles that have been done because good and faithful people have made contributions to organizations like World Vision or Samaritan's Purse or Compassion. There's many fine organizations, but it is possible to change the world. But you see, Christ, in his plan, chose us to change the world. One way to say it is, what is God's plan for poverty? What is God's plan for injustice? We are plan A. He chose us to go out in his name and deal with these things. And he doesn't have a plan B. We're plan A. God doesn't have a plan B. So it's up to us to fill that hole in our gospel and to be the hands and feet of Christ to a hurting world.
Thank you. Thank you very much, sir.
Praise His Holy Name. En dat zong het American Boys Choir in de Crystal Cathedral. Ik zit hier in mijn banyan. En dat is Molux voor kerkjasje. En dat doe ik vanwege de gasten die vanmorgen hier op de bank zitten. Het is een bijzonder echtpaar. In oktober vieren we dat Hour of Power 12,5 jaar uitzendt in Nederland via RTL 5. En sinds dat moment kijken ze Pieter en Lies Akahari. En als ik Akahari zeg, dan zeg ik al een beetje een naam die in de Molukken zeer bekend is. Pieter en Lies, goedemorgen.
Goedemorgen, Jan.
Ja, het is niet overdreven om te zeggen dat jullie een van onze trouwste kijkers zijn. Hè? Want jullie missen bijna geen uitzending.
Nee, dat klopt. Daar wordt er zondag op afgesteld.
Ja? 12,5 jaar, lange tijd. Waarom Hour of Power?
Mag ik het antwoord geven?
Ja.
Hour of Power brengt mij om te beginnen heel veel vreugde. Het geloof van Hour of Power, de boodschap die er gebracht wordt, die spreekt mij heel erg aan. Omdat het is ook een overbrugging tussen het geloof van mezelf en het geloof van Piet. Ik ben katholiek, Piet is hervormd, Molux hervormd. En Hour of Power is een hele mooie overbrugging daarin. Omdat een hele hoop facetten van Hour of Power mij heel goed aanspreken. En dan heb ik het voornamelijk over de positiviteit die dominee Schuller ons leert. En de momenten van nu die belangrijk zijn. In verband met de ziekte van Piet het afgelopen jaar zijn juist de momenten van nu voor ons extra belangrijk geworden.
Pieter, ik begrijp dat je verliefd op haar bent geworden. Want de vrouw die zo mooi kan spreken en er zo stralend uitziet. Wanneer was dat?
Nou, dat is niet zo lang geleden.
Pieter, jij, je vrouw noemde het al, je hebt de dood in de ogen gekeken. En nog, in het afgelopen jaar ben je ernstig ziek geworden. Wat is er gebeurd?
Blaascarcinoom.
Kanker dus.
Dat is ander woord voor kanker. Ja. Blaascarcinoom. En toen ik dat hoorde, toen dacht ik, tja, ik blijf op mezelf. En ik denk, nee, dit betekent voor mij toch in God geloven. En niet wijken van hem. Want ik heb altijd met hem geleefd. Niet alleen nu, maar voorheen tijdens de Tweede Wereldoorlog. En dat is voor mij de kracht die ik moet vechten. Want ziek zijn is genezen. Dat is zonder meer waar. Want je moet sterk zijn in je geest. De geest, de balans moet je in jezelf zoeken. En je leeft met de balans mee. Want als je ziel de balans kunt verwerken, dan kom je bovenop.
Hoe ervaar je als je dat hoort, dat je man een zeer ernstige vorm van blaaskanker heeft?
Ja, dat kwam als een mokerslag, omdat we gewoon vooraf geen signalen hadden gekregen. Maar daar herstel je toch betrekkelijk snel van, omdat je denkt van, oké, dit komt op ons pad. En het gaat er niet zozeer om wat je allemaal overkomt, maar het gaat er meer om wat je ermee doet, wat jou overkomt. En vanaf het begin af aan is Piet nooit in een depressie geraakt. Zijn geloof heeft mij ook een stimulans gegeven. Hij was altijd sterk en hij zegt, daar komen we bovenop. En ja, dat blijkt dan ook. Het was wel knokken, een jaar lang. En veel moet opzij gezet worden. Alleen maar om die ene persoon te dienen, bij wijze van spreken. Want het is belangrijk dat je als partner daar helemaal in meegaat. Maar ik ben wel een tijdje in mijn schulp gekropen. Dat wil zeggen dat ik niet zoveel zin had om iedereen maar te vertellen hoe je dat ervaart. Niet zozeer dat ze dat niet mogen weten. Maar iedereen heeft altijd zulke goede ideeën waar je niks mee aan kan. Dus ik was echt even in mijn schulp gekropen. We waren thuis als twee stille muisjes, zeg maar.
Nou, om het te verwerken. Ja. Want Pieter, jij bent geboren in de Molukken.
Ik ben geboren op Oost-Java in Malang.
Je hebt de verschrikkingen van de Tweede Wereldoorlog meegemaakt als kind. Je hebt daar het posttraumatische stresssyndroom aan overgehouden. Heel veel mensen lijden daaronder, zeker op oudere leeftijd. Je vader vocht voor het Nederlandse leger in Indonesië tijdens koloniale acties. Geen mooie tijd van ons als Nederland, vind ik. En zo ben je in Nederland terechtgekomen. Voel je je Nederlander?
Ik voel me Nederlander. En ik vind de Nederlandse volking ontzettend lief. En ik word opgenomen, ook in mijn bedrijfsleven, waar ik werk, bij de scheepvaart, met open arm ontvangen.
Niet zo betekent het voor jou dat Pieter die posttraumatische stressstoornis heeft? Soms moet ik me concentreren, denk ik.
Ja, zeker. En er zijn heel veel verborgen dingen die daarin meespelen. Het is pas tot uiting gekomen in 1999... toen er op de Molukken tussen de moslims en de christenen oorlog was en zijn familie daar heel erg mee geconfronteerd is. Daarom heet het ook bij hem verlaten postsyndroom. En hij heeft zich geuit in boosheid. Dat zou je bijna niet kunnen verwachten. Nee. Van de altijd glimlachende Piet. Dan is hij ook een beetje als een vulkaan. En ik merkte dat. Dus ik heb gezegd, we moeten samen naar de dokter. Is iets aan de hand met je? Waarvan de dokter meteen zei, oh, dat is 90% PTSS. U moet behandeld worden. En dat was moeilijk voor mij. Vooral omdat het moeilijk is om iemand te zeggen van, er is iets met je geest aan de hand of met je natuur. Ja, dat blijkt dus. Dat was het bekende PTSS. Wat inderdaad, zoals je al zei, op oudere leeftijd naar boven komt, nooit meer weggaat. En alleen in goede banen geleid wordt door de therapie die hij één keer per week heeft.
Jullie hebben alle Out of Power reizen meegemaakt, naar Amerika, naar andere landen. En ik geloof dat jullie de enige deelnemers zijn die onderscheiden zijn met de Hour of Power Reis Award. Die heb ik hier voor me. Voor mevrouw meneer Akahari. Omdat ze alle reizen hebben meegemaakt. Maar meer dan dat. Omdat jullie tijdens de reizen ook zo'n enorme invloed hebben op de hele groep. Vertel eens, welke reis is je het meeste bijgebleven?
Israël.
Ja?
Met Robbie als begeleider.
En de jonge Robbie Schuller.
Ja, de jonge Robbie Schuller. Maar dat heeft ook alles te maken met mijn katholieke opvoeding. Waardoor je dus helemaal niet nauwelijks wat van de Bijbel weet. Wat ik ervan weet komt door mijn schoonfamilie. Maar het is niet mezelf geworden, zeg maar. Ik heb het me niet toegeëigend. En dat was zo mooi om in Israël te zijn. Omdat Robbie Junior alles zo mooi heeft uitgelegd. En ook de betekenis ervan zei. Maar ja, iedere reis van Hour of Power heeft zijn charme. Jammer dat we de laatste niet mochten meemaken, konden meemaken. En Turkse reis ook niet, omdat we vanwege de behandelingen van Piet daar zeker niet toe in staat zijn.
Je bedoelt de reis straks met Robbie Schuller naar Turkije in oktober. Ja. Jammer?
Ja, heel jammer.
Zou je die missen?
Ja, en dan moet je dan zelf weer niet te lang bij stil blijven staan. Want dan vind je jezelf een beetje zielig of een slachtoffer. En dat willen we beslist niet. Want we hebben ons voorgenomen om de positieve dingen naar ons toe te trekken.
Ja. En dat is natuurlijk wat dominee Schuller altijd benadrukt. Ja. Het positieve van het geloof. Het positieve van positief denken. Dat hebben jullie beide eigen gemaakt.
Ja, maar nu kom ik dus tot de ontdekking. Dat positief denken en positief doen toch duidelijk twee verschillende dingen zijn. Prediker, die geeft zoiets moois aan. Er is voor alles een uur en een tijd. En nu heb ik beseft, echt, in mijn gedachten, maar ook bij mijn lichaam, wat het precies betekent. Van, er is voor alles een uur en een tijd.
Ja. Het is een tijd om te huilen, te lachen. Te wenen, tijd om op te rapen en weg te gooien.
Ja.
Voor alles is het tijd, ja. Prachtig.
Nou, dat heb ik nu echt beseft.
Ja.
En ook mijn deelgenoot gemaakt.
Ja. Ja.
Blij zijn om het nu, wat dominee Schuller altijd zo mooi zegt. Hè? Gisteren is voorbij, morgen komt nog niet, dus vandaag moet je blij zijn.
Pieter, wat heb jij persoonlijk, ook in de situatie waarin je nu verkeert met je gezondheid, aan de uitzendingen van Hour of Power, wat brengt je dat?
Nou, Our Power is voor mij bron van vrede, bron van hoop en bron van liefde. Want die drie factoren, die speelt samen met elkaar. Want als je geen vrede kent, dan ken je geen liefde. En als je hopen, dan moet je ook liefde hebben om die vrede te computeren. Maar het zijn allemaal, die spelen met elkaar. Vrede. Zonder vrede heb je geen leven meer. En zonder hoop heb je geen kans. En die kans, dat moet je benadrukken via je geloof.
Jullie gaan zometeen weer naar huis. Maar de uitzending wordt vervolgd met Nick Vukvic, de jongen zonder armen en benen. Die heb je natuurlijk al eerder gezien in de christelijke deelneming.
Ja.
En die komt zometeen weer. Geweldige kerel, hè?
Oh, fantastisch.
Ja.
Ik heb hem voor de eerste keer gezien toen hij als gast was. En daarna stond hij ineens op het podium als predikant. Zo snel kan dat gaan.
Ja, en hij heeft wat te zeggen. Het is een fantastische vent. Nou, ik geef jullie graag het boek wat net is uitgekomen in het Nederlands. Niets is onmogelijk. Leven zonder beperkingen. Het is zo'n inspirerend boek. En ik ben heel blij dat hij naar Nederland komt volgend jaar. Dus ik hoop dat vele jongeren naartoe gaan. Pieter, jij mag het vasthouden. Want ik heb voor jou ook nog wat. Christiane Engel, de kleindochter van Albert Schweitzer. En ik geef je graag, want ze is een begaafd pianiste, deze box met 12 cd's van Mozart die zij vol heeft gespeeld.
Geweldig, want je weet dat ik Mozart-liefhebber ben.
Dat weet ik.
Ik heb je één keer een sms'je gestuurd toen je vroeg hoe is het, hoe was de uitzending. En toen zei ik vanuit Mozart gezien Lieder ohne Worte.
Ja.
Geweldig, dankjewel.
Ja.
Jan, als je toch aan het cadeautjes aan het uitdelen bent.
Ja, dat vind ik heerlijk.
Ook een cadeautje geven. Het is een DVD over 60 jaar Molukkers in Nederland.
Heel erg mooi. Ik ga er zeker naar kijken. En jullie nogmaals bedankt voor jullie steun aan Hour of Power. Jullie zijn sinds het begin trouwe ondersteuners. ook van Hart voor Kinderen. Dat vinden we geweldig. En ja, we gaan ook aan u vragen om ons te ondersteunen.
Haiti, een van de armste landen ter wereld. En een jaar na de aardbeving is de chaos nog even groot. Door de aardbeving hebben veel kinderen hun ouders verloren en zijn dakloos geworden. Hart voor Kinderen wil deze kinderen omarmen, ze liefde, zorg en onderwijs geven. Een hoopvolle toekomst. De appartementen voor de opvang van 48 kinderen zijn klaar en in gebruik genomen. Uw hulp is nu nodig bij het dagelijks onderhoud. Voeding, kleding, onderwijs en heel veel liefde. Voor maar 22 cent per dag helpt u deze kinderen aan een thuis. Word donateur en bel 035 77 21104 of ga naar onze website. Steun Hart voor Kinderen, nu.
This is Robbie Schuler and I have committed my heart to Heart for Children. If you have a heart for children around the world who've lost their parents in the two-thirds world, get behind Heart for Children and you'll make the world a better place.
This morning, we're very, very, very blessed. Nick Vujicic, remember him? The guy from Australia, born without arms, born without legs, no limbs, but he said, I don't have any limits. Amazing guy, one of the world's greatest possibility thinkers. And he's back with us today, and he is going to preach the sermon. Nick, love you.
Thank you. Love you too, Dr. Schuler. Thank you so much. Thank you, Schuler. Good morning. Say GRACE. Have you heard of the acronym for GRACE? I heard this about a year ago. GRACE, God's riches at Christ's expense. I want to talk about the grace of God this morning. And for those of you who do not know me, my name is Nick Vujicic. I'm a president of a nonprofit ministry called Life Without Limbs, based in Southern California, right here in Los Angeles. And it's fantastic just to be able to be used by God, even in my circumstance, showing the strength of God, showing that we can have joy, happiness, and a fulfilling, limitless life because we serve a limitless God. And I'm 26 years old, and for those of you who don't know what happened to me, I was actually born this way. But I thank my mom and dad all the time, and you know what they say? Well, thank God. We couldn't do it without Jesus Christ by our side one day at a time. You know, as I get older, it's interesting as my parents, my dad especially, is opening up to me about details, specific details of even that moment when I was born. There was no medical reason, no warning at all. And I found out that my dad took a lead in holding me. Not at first, but he was the first to hold me. My mom, it took her 4 months to come to terms with it. She didn't breastfeed me. She found it very, very difficult to hold me for 4 months. She held me, but for very short periods. I don't know if I would even go that far if I was my mother, if I was my father. Would I be able to hold my son in that shock, in that insufficiency? My mom and dad were leaders of a church, and my dad's been a lay pastor for 26 years. And even the most faithful servants of God, and even the most greatest faithful men and women of God that we read in the Bible, there are many times where we have a sobering thought of our insufficiency. My father, I have many great memories of him, and he's still alive today, and I thank God that he's alive. But at age 8, I went up to my mom and dad, and my mom actually told me, I forgot this, my mom actually told me at age 8, that NICU came crying to me one day, and you were saying, you're going to kill yourself. And she asked me, why? Why do you say that? And I said, well, who's going to look after me after you and dad are gone? And she said, God. And I, you know, 10 years old, I tried to give up in life. I didn't see that hope. I didn't understand the grace of God. For if God has wonderful grace and power, then why does he let me have pain in my life? And you know what happened? One night, I was really upset. My dad came up to me and he said, Nick, I love you and God loves you. And long after I'm gone, God is going to be your father. I have a wonderful Heavenly Father who loves me so much. And I want to share with you that grace of God. You know, I was speaking at a conference in 2002, one of my first speaking engagements. I was very nervous. My palms were sweating. My knees were shaking. And I didn't know what to say. I didn't have my palm cards. I couldn't even find my palms. But this wheelchair here, this is my wheelchair to my left. This is my BMW 7 Series. And after preaching, this lady came up and she said, you know, Nick, some people say that I see the love of God in the sky and in creation and mountains. She said, I don't understand that. But I looked at your wheelchair and I understood the grace of God. What a beautiful time for me to be born. I mean, I have wheelchair, I have an iPhone. Man, you know, I've got hands-free phones. You know what I'm saying? We've got a website and Facebook and Twitter and all these things. You know, I love it how we gotta not take things for granted. The grace of God every day. I can't even breathe my next breath without Him. I have life, the greatest gift of all. I have an opportunity to extend the kingdom of God. Why does God love me? Because He's love. He doesn't even love me as an evangelist because of what I do. He doesn't love me. I can't save anybody. I can't even save my own soul. But I am seeking God's face. You know, when some people talk about, you know, wanting things from God, seek His face. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added. Hope does not disappoint. True hope. False hope is anything but in Jesus Christ. You know, for me in my life, grace is to be thankful. Grace is to be able to even read the Word of God. My flesh, Dr. Schuller, he will tell you how many times preachers around the world will get up on Sunday morning and maybe feel there is a concern or there is an emptiness, and we, God, help us to preach. Not even in our own strength can we preach. Not even in our own strength can we read and pray. My flesh doesn't want me to open the Word of God and say, you need to change yourself. You have sin in your life. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to, you know, we want to be comfortable in our life. I like this. I like that. But grace is that we even see who Jesus Christ is. You know, Martha and Mary, who was the one in the kitchen? Who was it? Martha. She was busy doing, and where was Mary? At the feet of Jesus. Wasn't it only that Mary got to see later on at the tomb? It's amazing. I love Jesus. I love God because His grace is sufficient. And I want to thank God that He even said no to my prayer. You know, what a sad day it would have been in heaven if I had enough time to ask God, God, out of all the mistakes I did wrong. When I was 8 years old, I prayed for arms and legs. Is it wrong for me to ask for arms and legs? Can you imagine if God gave me arms and legs at age 8? And that was not what God had intended to do for my life. He wanted me to be the miracle He made me to be. Can you imagine if I said, God, out of all the things I've done wrong, what was the biggest one that stood out? And He said, Nick, I made you without arms and legs. You were perfect just the way that you were. And you asked me for arms and legs. And because I love you, I gave you arms and legs. And He said, Nick, if only if you ask me for my will and not your will, 200,000 more souls would have come to the Lord Jesus Christ and would have been here in heaven. That's grace. It's grace to live. It's grace to die. Because I want to go to heaven. It's grace to learn. It's grace to relearn. How many times have we relearned something? Well, thank God He doesn't give up on us. God will not give up on you. If you seek Him, you will find Him. Maybe you were also caught up in a drug addiction and you came to the Lord Jesus Christ and you went to church. But what differed from this other powerful testimony was that you went maybe back to drugs. Well, God still loves you. He's still there. His promises are there. Keep on seeking and you will find Him. I couldn't go through my depression on my own. I can't forget the disappointments in my life that paralyzed me. We serve a limitless God. Not only will He give you grace to get through it, but to achieve all that you can. I want to share with you a story I've never shared before. It's hard when you are based in a Western society-based country to go to Africa or go to Indonesia and see grace. You have pity. You have compassion. For we see how much more we have out here. But I want to share with you an amazing grace story. Indonesian people, I love them. Puji Tuhan means praise God. And I've been to Indonesia 3 times. And one of the things that happened in Indonesia is our DVD that is on our website, lifewithoutlimbs.org, got into the hands of many, and we thank God that these DVDs have been used in prisons and orphanages and churches and so forth. But in Indonesia, we found out that there were 150,000 black marketed copied DVDs. And when the coordinator came up, he said, Nick, I am so sorry. I'm so sorry about the Indonesia people. I said, what's wrong? He said, they're black market. They don't understand copyright. Copyright, copyright, right to copy, right to copy. But we thank God. You want to know why? Because only if one soul hears the gospel message, who am I to charge? Who am I to ask anything? Because the gospel was freely given and I freely give. The forgiveness of God was freely received and we freely forgive. I said, don't worry, Pastor Han Han, it's all good. I said, I didn't just say, praise God that night. I said, thank you, God. It's not about always, you know, how I get so excited when I preach, my hands fly everywhere, okay? I'm just going to make sure that I don't go over time. I want you to understand something. One more thing with prayer. You can have 100 people praying for you, but if your heart's not in your prayers, we can have 100 people praying for your heart and your situation. And we pray, you know what the biggest prayer is? That you get on your knees. That is where power is. That is where grace is. That I, as a brother in Christ, would pray for you. And that you would find the grace of God to humble yourself and ask for forgiveness and renewing of mind. Back to Indonesia. I was speaking one Sunday 7 times. 3 services in the morning, 4 services at night. I was very tired. For lunch, we went into a Chinese restaurant. And as we walked in, you know, when my caregivers, they carry me in, we look like Siamese twins. Because we carry torso to torso, and so one head's facing this way, and another head's facing that way. It was so funny. So every time someone carries me, I mean, you know, we went into this restaurant, the restaurant stops. The people eating, the waitresses, they all stop. They're looking at me because I'm so good looking. I'm joking. They stop. And we go to our VIP table. And it's a long conference table, about 12 of us. And I wasn't too sure, you know, who was who. And we sat down and this lady came. This maybe, she was at that time 21 years old. She came up to the door and she's crying. And I'm like, oh, what's wrong? And she's speaking Indonesian. And, you know, I want translation. You know, I don't have the gift of interpretation. You know, I want to know what is she saying. And they don't tell me because they're all encaptured by what she's saying. And they start crying. I said, hello, can someone just fill me in here? So they tell me her story, and she was living in a house with her parents. I don't know how big to, I don't have hands to show you, but as big as this little platform, it's about, I don't know, 40 feet by 20 feet, okay? Living in a house with her family who go out to the rubbish dumps, the trash dumps, to pick up plastic. That's how they made their money to survive. $1 a day, this family survived. The greatest gift of God that she ever had, that she felt was so dear to her, was her family and her mother and father separated. She said, God, I can't do this. I think it's worse being in a broken home than having no arms, no legs. She said, God, you've taken away the most dear thing. I can't do this. She said, that's it. This is my last time I'm going to church. And next Tuesday, she planned down ahead, she's going to give up. She's going to run away and hide herself and give up. She went to church on Sunday. She said, God, I give up on you. The pastor showed a black marketed DVD of Life Without Limbs all the way in Indonesian. She said, if God had a plan for Nick, if Nick didn't give up on God, then I'm not going to give up on God. She started praying for a job. 6 months later, God gave her a job where? In the Chinese restaurant where I just happened to have lunch. And she said, Nick, I want to go to Bible college, but it's so hard to go to Bible college. She shared a little bit about myself. She said, I live in this Chinese restaurant and I sleep on the concrete floor. I said, you sleep on that floor? She said, yes. I saw bugs and everything. I can't imagine. She left the room and I said, come back after we eat. And I'm so disturbed. Like, God, how can I help this woman? Please help me to help her. And I'm so disturbed about her sleeping on the concrete floor and she's away from her family. And this guy to my right, he says, Nick, do you know how hard it is to go into a Bible college? I said, no. He said, there's only one Bible college in the whole region and you have to pay this and this amount of money. And if you have the money, there's a 12-month waiting list for an entrance exam. And if you sit the entrance exam, only 1% of the people actually get in. He starts smiling and said, Nick, you're very disturbed that she sleeps on the concrete floor. I said, yes. He started smiling. I said, what are you smiling at? He said, you don't know who I am. I said, no, I don't know who you are. He said, I'm the pastor of the church that you just spoke at, and we have on-site accommodation. And if you want to put up some money, we'll give her her own condo, her own apartment. I said, oh, how much is it? He told me how much. I said, boom, we'll get it done. And I'm like, oh, that is so cool. She's going to have a home. I can't wait for her to come back. And I'm going to tell her, you're going to get out of this place. It's going to be so cool. And then this guy to my left, he starts crying. And he starts smiling. I said, what are you smiling at? He said, Nick, I'm a businessman. I want to pay for the whole thing. I said, no, no, I want to take it. I want to pay for it. I want to do the whole, I want to even retire her. You know, how much money does she make? And they said, well, probably $1 a day. I said, don't worry about it. I'll cover that. That's okay. I want her to be free into doing what Jesus wants to do. And then a man from the other side of the table, I'm thinking, man, how is she still going to go to Bible college? This man on the other side of the table, he's smiling. And I said, what are you smiling at? He said, Nick, I'm the president of the Bible college. Grace of God is never empty. And if you have a cup and you want to fill the ocean in the cup, you cannot fill the cup with the ocean. But only if the cup is hollow can the ocean pass through the cup. I am an empty vessel of God. May God bless you. May God surround you with His grace through your circumstances to accomplish all that He has, to be thankful, to pray, and to trust. Father, in the name of Jesus, may you touch each and every one of us with your grace and your love. And we thank you, Lord, that you are our Father. No matter what we do, you still love us because we are your children. In the name of Jesus, we ask for healing, chains to be broken, eyes to be open. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious. And may God give you peace in your going out, in your coming in your lying down, in your rising up, in your labor, and in your leisure, until you come to stand before Jesus in that day in which for you there will be no sunrise, no sunset. Only eternal light and life and love forevermore. Hallelujah.
Geweldig, dat verhaal van dat meisje in Indonesië die Nick ontmoette. En leuk dat we hier ook een familie uit Indonesië op de bank hadden. Zo komt alles bij elkaar. Nick Vukovic, man die een ongelooflijk en onverwoestbaar optimisme uitstraalt vanuit zijn diepe geloof. En dat verwoordt hij allemaal in dit prachtige boek, Leven zonder beperkingen. Het is net uitgekomen. Boven staat, niets is onmogelijk. Nou, ik heb hem een paar dagen meegemaakt. Ik heb wel eens verteld vorig jaar. En inderdaad, voor hem is niks onmogelijk. Ik heb met hem gezongen en hij was sneller dan ik. Dit boek kun je via Hour of Power kopen. Kijk op onze website. Het is prachtig om dit boek cadeau te geven aan mensen die het nodig hebben. En dat denk ik is bijna iedereen. Heel hartelijk bedankt voor het kijken. Volgende week weer een bijzondere uitzending van Hour of Power. Dan met een interview van dominee Schuller met moeder Teresa, lang geleden opgenomen. Maar daar besluiten we onze maand van de naastenliefde mee. Een prachtig, boeiend interview. Heel hartelijk bedankt voor het kijken naar deze uitzending van Hour of Power. Ik geef nog onze website in verband met mogelijk het boek. www.hourofpower.nl. En daarmee nemen we afscheid. Ik hoop tot volgende week. Oh.